So I've learned that I'm funny. Okay. Yeah, we're very, yeah, sweet is, yeah, that was awesome. I'm thankful that we have a God that loves us. And I want us to pray. There's some needs that I'm aware of. I'm sure there's a lot that I'm not aware of. But there are some needs that I'm very aware of this morning. I know we want to pray for Mary. We thank God that you didn't have to have that surgery. But now there's a shoulder thing going on, so we want to pray for Mary. We want to pray for Angelina. She continues, not this Angelina. Well, we pray for you too, sweetheart, but the other Angelina. She continues to deal with some health issues. I wrote some things down. Let me make sure. What have I got here? Marsha. Yeah, thank you. Marsha, we've been praying for her. She's kind of getting some mixed reports. One step forward, a couple steps back. She has some tests this week, Barbara, is that right? So she's asked us to join with her in prayer for a good report. And we're believing God for a good report, but what we really want, we want her to be anchored and firm and established and trusting, because sometimes life will give you difficult reports. And so we want her to be able to just step back and say, you know what? No matter what may come, no matter what I may hear, no matter what diagnosis, good or bad, we want her to be anchored in her faith and in her trust in Christ. So we're going to pray for a good report, and we're going to pray that God will keep her in peace. Amen? Amen. I have some cards here. I'm not going to read these, but every one of these cards that have been handed in represents a need, something that's going on in someone's life. Someone drew an awesome picture. That's really cool. And it ranges from physical situations to families that are in need, financial things, all jobs. There's all kinds of things that are expressed in here. And I'm quite sure that there are some needs that are represented out there that I haven't mentioned. So really, just real quick, if you've got something going on and you just say, you know what, I need God to help me today. Maybe it's a physical situation. Maybe it's a financial struggle. Maybe there's something going on in your family, a loved one that is estranged or away from you or away from God. Can we just pray about those things today? I just want to remind you, we have a God. We heard it this morning. We heard it clearly. We have a God who has moved heaven and earth on our behalf. We have a God who became man, lived a perfect life, died a terrible death, rose victorious over all of the enemy, and is today interceding on your behalf. There's nothing impossible with him. With man, your situation may be impossible, but Scripture says with him, all things are possible. So let's talk to that God this morning. Can we do that? Our God, today we are thankful. We are thankful that you love us. We are thankful, Lord, that even while we were sinners, even when we were estranged and even enemies of yours, God, you came and you lived and you died and you rose and you ever live with us as the beneficiaries. God, today our hearts are thankful on one hand and needy on the other. We can look at our lives and we can see the many, many times that you've acted and worked on our behalf. We can see and we could give testimony today of all of your great works and the way you've provided for us time and time again. But Lord, here we are yet again with needs. We confess to you, Lord, that we are a needy, needy people. But we thank you that you're a need-meeting God. We thank you, Lord, that no matter how deep our pit, you are deeper still. We thank you, Lord, that no matter how great our need, you are greater still. We thank you, Lord, that there's nothing impossible for you. We thank you that according to your word, you were able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or even imagine. And so today, we bring our situations to you, that kind of God. We thank you, Lord, that you're working in our lives physically. For everyone that is experiencing a physical difficulty today, Lord, we remind them, by your Spirit, we remind them that you, Lord, are our provision for healing. Lord, for everyone that is experiencing a financial struggle today, Lord, we say in faith that you are more than enough. You are sufficient for every situation. Lord, for every family that's being torn apart by some situation, God, we pray you get on the inside of that difficulty and work it out in ways that we could never figure out. Lord, we lay our lives before you today. We present ourselves to you today just knowing that you're not only able, but that you're willing and even anxious to work on our behalf. And so, Lord, in full faith and with great assurance, we trust you today. We trust you today. We trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys look awesome today. You sound pretty good. I heard that wonderful singing. We moved the pulpit, the podium back here a little bit because I've got a little bit of an illustration thing going on. So you guys ready? All right. Turn with me to a very, very familiar passage of Scripture. Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Wow. That passage of Scripture is so familiar, you would think that whenever we say, we're going to talk about Psalm 23 today, someone would say, yes! But here's the deal. Amen. But here's the deal. You see, memorizing Scripture and being familiar with Scripture, it's kind of a double-edged sword if we're not careful. Yes, we ought to memorize Scripture. We ought to commit it to memory. It ought to be something that we can pull out of our spirit whenever we need that, or whenever we need to be reminded of God's truth. And that's the good part of it. But the challenging part of it is when a passage of Scripture, becomes so familiar to us that unless we really stay on guard, it can lose its impact. You know, so if we were to say this morning, okay, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, his only begotten Son, whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. And we know that. But sometimes the familiarity of that allows us to just recite it without feeling its impact and being reminded of its truth. Lord's Prayer, same thing. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We could all do that, or most of us could do that. And again, it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing that we have those scriptures and those promises and the word of, it's good that we have that in our heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin. And see, that's even one that we can rattle off as well. And it's good. It's a good thing. But what I would ask today, not necessarily of you, because I'm in the same boat, actually, having a knowledge, or a mental memory of something that I've heard, or a scripture that I've memorized. I'm in the same boat. So my request is not for you. My request is for the Holy Spirit today to just help us, because we're looking at a familiar passage of Scripture. But I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, don't let me be so familiar that I'm blinded. Don't let me be so aware. Don't let me have just committed it to memory. But my question would be, not do you know the 23rd Psalm? My question would be, are we living in the power and the promise of the 23rd Psalm? And one passage in particular, Psalm 23. Let's look at it. Now, did you do the NIV, the New International Version? That's the one I'm going to be reading from. So the version you have might be a little different, but we don't lose any of the meaning. You got it, Tim? Trying to get it. All right. Psalm 23, well, that was it, whatever you just did. All right, you know it. Do we even need it up there? I'll read it, ready? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack nothing. I shall not want, the King James says, but it's I shall lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley. I really like the way the King James says that one. Even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, most assuredly, your goodness and love, your goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What an awesome, awesome passage of Scripture. It's worth so much more than just an embroidered pillow on your couch. And again, there's nothing wrong with that, but let's not be so familiar. My mercy, the Lord is my shepherd. And that one right there, we could stop and experience a camp meeting. The Lord is my shepherd. And we could keep going, and we could have another camp meeting. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I don't lack for anything. So you see what happens when we step back from the familiarity and we allow God's word to come alive. And that's what I would like us to do on one verse in particular. Let's look at verse 5 again. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have provided for me. You have spread before me a place of provision in the presence of my enemy. Now wait a minute. I like the first part of that. The second part of that I'm struggling with. The way many of us wish that verse read was this way. This is how so many of us wish that what this verse actually said. You prepare a table before me in your very own presence, and my enemies are nowhere to be found. That's the way we wish that it was printed. It's just me and you, Jesus, and you've dispelled all of my enemies. But that's not what it says. It says this table of abundance, this provision that you've given to me, it is sometimes with my enemies all around. And see, here's the thing. Enemies, these enemies that are mentioned, you know, those enemies that are there in your presence when God is providing for you, it can take a lot of different shapes. It's not necessarily people. Now, sometimes it might be people, but let's step back a minute and realize our enemies are not really each other. There's something else working. There's something else manipulating. There's something else twisting. You're not my enemy, and hopefully I'm not yours. Even if sometimes we have a disagreement, even if sometimes we don't see things the same way, even if sometimes I'm thoughtless towards you or you're thoughtless towards me, we're not the enemy. See, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. That's not where the battle is going on. That's not where the enemy is. It's something else. And so the enemy can be when life's circumstances in general are just crowding in on you and you feel like you're running out of room. It's just everything around me seems to be culminating all at once, and I'm feeling restricted, and that could be an enemy. Or a diagnosis that you weren't expecting is an enemy. Or it could be a coworker that is jealous, or something else has gotten into them and they're undermining you they're gossiping about you and they're backstabbing you. That enemy might have the face of a person on it, but it's not really the person. There's something else. Go, what is that enemy? It's even in the midst of God's provision, these things, these enemies, it can be an internal struggle. It can be an external pressure. It can be a challenge, a difficulty, a hardship of any kind, financial. Maybe it's an emotional issue. Whatever it is, you fill in the blank. You know what enemies are stalking and lurking. Even in the midst of God's amazing table of provision, it is not without enemies. And so this is where I struggle. I really do. And maybe I'm the only one. Maybe you're so spiritual that you don't deal with this. I wish that God had not said it that way. You see, what I want, what I wish, if I could write this and it would just come true the way that I wrote it, if I could have my wish, I would say this awesome table of provision, this awesome place of provision God has for me, it's just for me and God to enjoy, and I can share it and I can bless others, and the enemies of my life are nowhere to be found. God has driven them all away by his glorious presence. And man, I would love it if that is what was going on at this place of provision God has. Who's interested? Nobody. Who's interested in sitting at God's provision while the enemies stalking and lurking? I'm not interested in that. So there has to be something deeper going on, because it's not what I want, it's what God is after. So what is it that God wants? You see, he wants to remind us that there's a place of provision that comes directly from him, even in the midst of your difficulty, not in spite of them. He wants us to trust him. And so we can look at our lives and we can see how God blesses us and keeps us and provides for us in so many ways. And then the enemies of our life and the circumstances of life begin to swirl around and crowd in and leave us feeling restricted and without options. And I just hear the voice of the Father saying to me, do you trust me? It's easy to trust you if you're the only one at the table and your enemies have been banished. But when the enemies are circling your provision, do you trust me? Do you trust me? And so God is wanting something deeper. We're wanting just an immediate satisfaction, and God is saying, no, it's not about what's on the table. It's about who's at the table with you. Somebody needs to hear that today. It's not about the ways that God has provided for you. It's about who it is that's doing the providing. So get your eyes, he's saying this to me, I'm not saying, he's saying this to me, son, get your eyes off of the provision and get them onto the provider. It's not the table that's been spread before you. It's the fact that wherever you go, I'm with you. And I also think that there's a part of it where God is just wanting to put his people and himself on display. Think about it. You get someone who loves the Lord and they've committed their life to him and they're following after him, and then it seems that their whole life begins to fall apart, but their faith remains unshaken. And so the world are standing back and we're scratching our head and we're saying, what in the world? Your whole life is falling apart. How do you still have joy? Your whole world is shaken to the foundation. How is it that you can continue to trust? And he's saying, look at my people. even when they walk through the valley of the shadow of death, they don't fear evil because I'm with them. And so God is up to something more than just satisfying an immediate desire. He's up to building character and trust in us. And there are things that can be developed in us in the presence of our enemies that can't be developed any other way. And we would love for him to eliminate our difficulties. But that's not always his plan. You know, sometimes life and the things that we experience in life, sometimes they don't, let's just be honest, okay? Sometimes they don't line up with what we think we know from God's word. Right? I mean, God's word says by his stripes we are healed. God's word says if we will call for elders and pray for the sick and anoint them with oil and pray a prayer of faith, that God will heal them. And sometimes it doesn't happen exactly that way, and we leave scratching our head. And so sometimes it's not about having the immediate thing addressed. Sometimes it's about God doing a deep, deep work in us. And I sometimes have a difficulty drawing the line between the two. The table of God's abundant provision and the fact that that table of provision is surrounded by my enemies. Keep in mind, excuse me, I got a table here, so just hang on. Keep in mind, okay, keep in mind that anytime you read about a table in Scripture, it usually is symbolic. My Diet Mountain Dew. It's usually symbolic of God's abundant provision. And when you understand that in this context, he's talking about a provision, a table, a place of abundant provision in the middle of a desert, dry place where they could hardly scrape together a few cacti to eat. And the psalmist is saying, right in the middle of all of that desolation, right in the middle of all of that dryness, right in the middle of being surrounded by the enemies, I'm going to spread a place of abundance for you. Now, I could have gone completely all out and just had a big table, you know, just spread with all kinds. But I'm pretty simple, actually. If I can get something that I like to eat, it doesn't have to be fancy. So this morning I've got just a nice ham sandwich. Little Duke's mayonnaise, by the way. It's got to be Duke's. And I've got some broccoli and cauliflower. And that may not be what you like, but for me, that's a good provision. I like it. Some potato chips, some orange slices, my Diet Dew. Anybody hungry? I'll come back to that. It's pretty good. A table of provision in the midst of a dry and desert place. Yeah. Our prayer would be my prayer. I'll speak for myself. My prayer would be, okay, Lord, this is your provision for me. And again, remember, this is all symbolic. Okay? This is your provision for me. And Jesus is here. He's with me. But the challenge is that I'm surrounded by enemies, and they're watching me. They see God's provision in my life, these enemies. Now, what I would like to say is, Jesus, could you just, I mean, this is pretty uncomfortable here. Could you just dismiss them, at least for a while, could you just dismiss them so that you and I can fellowship and enjoy this provision together? A little broccoli. Would I like broccoli? That's all right. And we want God to just dispel our enemies. But he's wanting us to understand some things. You see, if we just sit here and enjoy his abundant provision, and it's just me and Jesus got our own thing going, and there's never anything to challenge me, there's never anything to come against, if those things aren't there, I might not understand some things that God wants me to understand. What are some of the things that God might want us to understand? He wants you to understand that there really is a table. Let's just establish that to begin. Because if we're sitting here and we're so surrounded by the enemy, then we're so concerned with what's going on, if we're not careful, we'll fail to remember that Jesus is with us. And then despite what's happening out there, he has provided a place of abundance for me. Yes. There really is a table. There really is provision from God. It's true. It's real. He hasn't forgotten you. You prepare a table before me. His provision is real. He wants us to remember that. He wants us to understand that. He wants us not only to remember that his provision is real, he wants us to remember that he is with us. Don't forget that. You're not eating by yourself. This didn't just happen. But there's so many enemies around. That's okay, because he's here. He's with me. He's with you. It doesn't matter who's out there. It doesn't matter who's lurking and stalking. It doesn't matter, because he's here. He wants us to understand that. He's with us at the table. The God of the universe is with you. The God who made you and me and everything that is, that God is with you. The God who sustains everything that ever was and everything that ever will be, that God is with you. He wants us to know that. Why on earth are we focusing on the enemies when the God of the universe is at the table with me? Wow. He wants us to understand some things. He's with us. But here's the thing. We can't ignore the enemies. They're in your face. They're whispering in your ear. You're trying to enjoy your time with God. You're trying to enjoy your abundant provision. And those enemies are whispering in your ear. They're trying to scoot you over, sit beside you at God's table of provision. They're actually pointing to something that is even more alarming. You see, these enemies, whatever they are, the psalmist says it is a valley of the shadow of death. How do you make a shadow? You got to have something that has substance and reality, and you got to have a source of light. We know Jesus is the source of light. And for some reason, we find ourselves surrounded by shadows. So we can't ignore the realities. There's something there. There's a problem. There's a difficulty. There's a struggle. There's something there, and it's casting shadows throughout my life. And I love it. He says, even when you're walking, even when you're at the table enjoying my presence, you still might be surrounded by the shadows. But don't lose sight that I'm with you. You know, if he weren't with you, there could be no shadows. Hello. And so the shadows of the enemy that are surrounding you, the shadows of the enemy that we contend with, are proof that he is with us. Sinners don't struggle with these things. Hello. Is it making sense? And so he not only has provided a table, and even though that table might be surrounded by shadowy images and shadowy enemies, don't lose sight of the fact that he's with you right there at the table of provision. But those shadows can only be cast by a very real enemy. And so that diagnosis, it's just a shadow of the real enemy. That financial hardship, it's just the shadow of the real enemy. Are you getting it? Those broken relationships, it's just a shadow of the real enemy. Who is this real enemy? You know where I'm going. You know exactly where I'm going. The real enemy. Let's look at the next slide. 1 Peter 5:8. Be alert and be of sober mind. Your enemy, your real enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And so the shadows that seem to be so real, they seem to have such substance to them, they're just shadows. But the only way they can exist is because it's a very real enemy who's prowling around, who's lurking around in those shadows, who's just waiting for an opportunity. So take a seat at the table with you. He's a very real. And the scripture says he's prowling. You know, he doesn't change. Adam and Eve in the garden, here he comes, prowling around. God, did God really say this? Did he really mean what he said, prowling? And there he is again, not just in the Garden of Eden. We find him throughout, but we find him in the Garden of Gethsemane, with none other than Jesus himself. Jesus, if you wanted to, you could call legions of angels to deliver you out of this mess, lurking, prowling around. And make no mistake about it, his goal is pretty clear. He's out to devour. Not just to discourage, and not just to get you distracted. He's out to devour. So we have a very real enemy, not just these shadowy images that circle our life, but we have a very real enemy. He's trying to find someone who's not paying attention. He's trying to find someone who's more distracted with the shadows in their life, and they're leaving themselves unguarded. They're not grounded in Christ. They're not grounded in the Word. They're not kept by the Holy Spirit. They don't secure themselves in times of love and fellowship with their Savior. And they present an opening, and the enemy just... And he has moved in on your provision. And if you're not careful, he'll... reach over and steal from you what God has provided for you. That's pretty good. You get it? So we do have a very real enemy. But here, I like what the scripture says. It says he prowls around like a roaring lion. He's just pretending to be one. You see, we only have one lion, the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's not a lion. He wants to convince you that he is. He would like to convince you that him and Jesus are on equal footing. And nothing could be further from the truth. The Bible says everything that we see, everything that we experience was created by Jesus. Colossians tells us that. Which means, as a created being, the enemy, the devil himself, is a created being. He's on no way equal footing with Jesus. And so he can only be like a lion. He can only pretend. He can only imitate and mimic a lion. We only have one lion. Prowls around like a roaring lion, trying to find someone to devour. He's prowling around trying to find a vacancy at your table. So unless we stay alert, unless we stay on guard, unless we stay grounded in Christ, I'll be with you in this week. You see what's happening here? He has wormed his way in between you and your wife. And he's whispering in somebody else's ear. You don't think he hates you that much? You're deceiving yourself. Or he could even do this. Okay. But now, so now between parent and child, or even like this, now you go back to this commandment today. You know, Mom always did love her more. You see? That's what I'm talking about. Thank you, guys. They had no idea I was going to do that. Are you guys friends? Yeah? Yeah. Well, let me get between you. I'm not going to force you to do it, but you get the idea? And that's exactly what he will do. We're so focused on the enemies, failing to remember that he's with us, even in the midst of our enemies. And we leave ourselves unguarded, and we don't anchor ourselves in Christ, and we don't keep reminding ourselves of the truths of Scripture. And the next thing you know, he's taken a seat at your table. Now, listen. Now, you know, let me just tell you something about those church people. They put on a good show. Let me just talk to you a minute about how much they really appreciate you. You see that? That's the way he's subtle like that. He's slick like that. And so, yes, there is an abundant place of provision for us. And yes, He is with us in the midst of that provision, even in front of our enemies. He's there. But the enemy is never going to stop. He's going to try to destroy your children right under your nose. Hello. He's subtle. He's sneaky. He's lurking and stalking around. And he will introduce it through a pressure of a friend, or he will introduce it through an ungodly agenda of a TV show that you thought was safe for them to watch. He will insert himself in between you and that relationship you have with your spouse by planting someone in their sight of vision that serves as a distraction to them. You think he's not up to that? Don't deceive yourself. Scripture says he's lurking around. He's prowling around, just waiting for an opening to sit down at your table. That's what he's waiting for. Oh, well, I'm thankful, preacher. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that he's not at my table. Just think of the nerve of him. This is my table. This is God's provision for me. The nerve of him to try to intrude in my provision and interfere with my relationship with God and my relationship with my spouse and my relationship. The nerve of him. Who does he think he is? He's not at my table. There's no way I thank God. There's no enemy at my table. Well, I hope not. But you know, there's a way we could find out. This is certainly not an exhaustive list, but I want to present three things to you. If you've ever heard any one of these things, the enemy is at your table, whispering in your ear. And the reason I know that is because your loving Heavenly Father, your good shepherd, will never say these things to you. And so if you're hearing these things, it's time to wake up and realize there's an enemy at your table. Number one, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. Maybe you've made it before. Maybe other difficulties have come and you've been able to get past them, but not this time. This time it's going to get you. Or just in general, you know, you walk around, you say you love Jesus, you're going to fail just like your parents failed. You're going to fail just like everyone else in your life. You're not going to make it. That's not the voice of your shepherd. Because what he says is, I have made provision for you. When everything around you is screaming that you will fail, he is shouting, you are my child. You are not your own. I've bought you with a price. I've invested too much into you to sit back and watch you fail. If you will stay anchored in me, if you will stay firm in me, you will not fail. You will make it. And so if you're hearing, you're not going to make it, the enemy is at your table. If you're hearing this, there's an enemy at your table. There's something better at another table. Now see, I like this. This is good. What you got on your table? Bacon cheeseburger. That looks pretty good. Do you mind if I come in? Check that out. You know, I don't really know how much I care for cauliflower. Yeah. You don't have any cauliflower on your plate. You got french fries. Mm. That's what I'm talking about. that's fine and good, but have you seen Rich's table? And so God provides for us in so many ways. And this harkens back to what we just talked about. He comes in and subtly sowing those seeds of discontentment with God's provision. Your wife is fine, but look at his wife. Your job is okay, it's okay, but that's the job you really want. It doesn't matter who you have to step on to get there. You get it? And so he comes in, and by reminding, hey, they got ribs at their table. I like ribs. You get it? No. Step back and say, this is God's provision for me. And he knows I don't need French fries. I need cauliflower. Right? So if you've ever heard there's provision that's better at someone else's table, there's an enemy at your table causing us to doubt that God's way is the best way. One more. If you've ever heard this, there might be an enemy at your table. God doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about you. Other people? Yeah, he cares about them, but not you. You see, God knows what you've done. He knows what you've done. He doesn't care about you. He knows the attitudes you've had. He knows the thoughts. He doesn't care about you. He's done with you. He doesn't care about you at all. If you've ever heard that, if you've ever entertained that, you can rest assured it's not coming from that seat. It's coming from that seat. He will never say that to you. Instead, he says, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to bless you and prosper you and give you a future. He says, I love you so much. You think, you honestly think I don't care for you? You honestly think that? I love you so much. I gave up all of the things that involve deity. I'm God. I gave all of that up. I laid it aside so that I could come and walk in skin just like you. I didn't have to do that. I did it because I loved you. I lived a sinless life, empowered by the Spirit, as an example before you. I died a death that did not belong to me. It actually belonged to you, but I died it so you wouldn't have to. And you tell me I don't love you? You tell me I don't care about you? I rose victorious over every enemy, death, hell, the grave, all lumped into one. I rose victoriously over that for you. I'm living today, interceding on your behalf. I'm coming again. I'm now preparing a place for you. I'm coming again. I'm bringing you unto myself. And all of that because I do care for you. And so if you're hearing, he doesn't care for you. Yes, he loves other people, but you've done too much. You've gone too far. He could never see his way past it. The voice of the enemy at your table. Don't listen to that. That's never what your shepherd would say to you. And so, what do? You're not invited. You might try to come up and make it look like you're seated, but you're not seated because you have no seat at my table. See, here's the thing. You've got to get this. You, through Jesus, have the authority to determine who sits at your table. Hear that. You have the authority to say, no, there's no room for you. And he'll keep circling. He'll keep lurking, and he'll keep prowling, and he's waiting for you to go get a chair and set it up for him. Leave it there. You possess through Jesus the authority to determine who sits at your table of provision. And so I would say, give me a reserved sign. Boom, it's reserved. You ever go into a table and they've got a table reserved? Did you ever try to sit there? I ain't gonna let you sit there. I know it says reserved, but I just want to sit. No, that table's reserved. Someone set that table aside. You can't sit there. And even if you have to eat, the rest of the restaurant may be completely full. That table is sitting there empty. They will make you wait because that table's reserved. Take all the chairs away. The enemy's not welcome. Don't give him place. Don't provide a seat for him. Well, that's easy for you to say. No, it's actually not. Because I live in the same world that you live in. Those same enemies are circling my table. That same enemy's trying to wedge his way between me and my wife and me and my kids. This is not theory. This is real. Thou prepares a table before me, the presence of my enemies. Praise God. Praise God. Through Jesus, you have the authority to take the chair away. You have the authority to say, not at my table, not at my table, not in my family, not in my relationship, not in my job, not in my health. No way. No room. The Bible says this: submit yourself to God, resist the enemy, he will flee. Now rest assured, he'll come back. And so we submit and we resist and he flees. And when he comes back, we submit, we resist, and he flees. He's relentless. Just when you thought you had him run off, he's right there again. Right in your ear again, trying to wedge his way between you and your spouse again. Not at my table. God gave me this table. I didn't build this. God gave me this. This wasn't even my idea. God's the one that provided for me. God's the one that has given me in abundance. This ain't your table. This is my table. Go somewhere else. Not today. Not today. You'll come back again tomorrow, and guess what I'll say tomorrow? Today. You'll come back again next week, lurking around, stalking around, trying to sneak up, and I'm going to say it out. Not today. Not today. Take away all the other chairs. Take them all away. Now the beautiful thing is, now you probably don't want this because this is my provision. But the beautiful thing is, if I wanted to, if I had a heart to, and if you were willing, I could walk around and I could share my provision. Probably don't want my broccoli and chips, but you get the idea? Yeah. Share that. And the beautiful thing is, whenever I share my provision, the table that God has prepared for me, I turn around and he's filled it up. Thou prepares a table of abundance and provision for me right in the middle of my enemy. You keep lurking in the shadows. There's no seat for you. No chair for you. Amen? Amen. Father, I'm believing that someone needed to hear this today. You laid it on my heart for a reason. So for that one, those ones that needed to hear this today, God, drive it home. Drive it home. Make it a reality in their heart that they do not have to yield one inch to that enemy who's trying to worm his way into their family. You've provided abundance. You've provided amazing provision for your people. We refuse refuse, in Jesus' name, we refuse to allow the enemy a seat. No seat for the enemy. No opportunity for the enemy. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love you guys. You're awesome. Let me bless you guys. Can we do that? I'm gonna pronounce a blessing over you. If you want to pray after we're done, feel free. These altars will be open. You can come and spend some time. If you want to bite, feel free. If you want to talk to me, feel free. I want to bless you, and then I want us to be dismissed, loving on each other, all right? Father, in the name of Jesus, as the shepherd of this flock, I bless these, your people. I bless them with the ability to remember and recall and be established in the provision of God. Lord, may no enemy come, in Jesus' name, may no enemy come that is so great to get them distracted and taken away from the amazing provision you have for your people. God, I pray that an authority, I bless them, Lord, with an authority that will rise up within them that can recognize and rebuke the enemy away from their table. I bless them with that kind of recognition and that kind of authority in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you guys. Love on each other. Amen. See you Wednesday.